Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our gathering here. We are grateful for the privilege you have given unto us once again to gather, Lord God, in this place. As we go into your word, I humble myself under your mighty hand. Lord, I place all of my confidence in your mercies. In the grace of the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit, I duck under the covering of my fathers in this house that I minister today, being able to minister effectively as an oracle of God. Lord, as the word goes forth, Father, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened, with revelation on it as the word goes forth, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of us. Help me to redeem the time of the sitting that necessary. Help me to be a scribe instructed of the kingdom, bringing out the treasure of your word, things new and old, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the privilege once again to share from God's word today. We are going to begin another book, the book of Titus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'll give a brief summary of this book. It's a book that contains 3 chapters. It's a book that Paul the Apostle wrote to his spiritual son, Titus. And as we all know, we should know, Titus was not a Jew. It was a Gentile who got born again under Paul's ministry. If we open to Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being what? A Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." That was when he went with Barnabas to Jerusalem, and there was a contention, you know, with the Jews, those that were born again, but was of a circumcision. And they were trying to force him to tell Titus, so to speak, to circumcise him. And that's why Paul said, no, it's not for once. We did not allow them. He said that the truth of the gospel might remain. Praise the Lord. So, and this was, the book was written to Titus when he was in Crete. After Paul's second imprisonment, Titus followed Paul to Crete. You know, and they evangelized that whole area, got people born again. But Paul could not stay back there. So he left Titus in Crete. You see, last time, you know, we were talking about the book of Timothy. You begin to see different characteristics of these people. Titus was a troubleshooter. So he said, "For this reason, I left you here in Crete, that you may set in order. Unlike Timothy, Paul will always say, God has not given him a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." No, not with Timothy. Timothy was he was told to set things in order. That was just his character. Titus, you know, not Timothy. But Timothy was a bit timid, so Paul had to encourage him. If you notice, it's just 3 chapters. Why 3 chapters? I was thinking it's just a long line. Because Timothy was 2 books, because there wasn't so much to tell Titus to do. Are you following me? But he had to write a lot to him. Like, if somebody comes in and says something, and you are called to say something after the person has spoken, you say, "Ah, there is nothing else to say. He has said everything." So nothing much to talk, to write to Titus, because he was really standing on his watch. Praise the Lord. So he left him in Crete. You know, and then Titus faced a lot of opposition from the Jews that were circumcised. They began to teach heresy, different things, telling that you can't circumcise. The same thing that Paul went through. Are you following me? So, like I said, it has 3 chapters, and I'll just give a brief summary of all the 3 chapters. Chapter 1, the summary, it tells Titus the purpose for leaving him behind the Crete that I've said. And he told him, appoint elders in the church, which is similar to what we see in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Praise the Lord. And also, as Paul expressed his concern concerning those who are teaching a wrong doctrine, overthrowing the faith of some. Praise the Lord. And then he also instructs him in that chapter 1 that you rebuke them sharply. You see, when it comes to the truth of the word of God, it does not matter who is preaching. You see, let me give an, this way come to me. Let me just explain. Because you may say, why should he speak? What if they were older than him? The same thing happened when they went to Jerusalem. And he said that he rebuked Peter. You see, you know what? Let me give an example. If somebody comes to this people, I was thinking about, I'm not saying we should rebuke elders, but when it comes to the truth of the word of God, we must stand for truth. Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Why? Because the lives of men are hanging in the balance. Somebody comes out to the giver, God forbid, and he begins to serve food. And the head of the, what's it called? It serves with, and the person knows that that food is contaminated, maybe has cyanide in it. And they say, let me keep quiet. So maybe afterward, after the man has finished serving the food, I will talk to them. His people will die. So it should, what should he do? It should stop them from serving. Sharply, they stop serving that food. The Bible says that when you are stand before a leader, say, put a knife to your throat. If a man giving to appetite, a lot of that is going about the Christ today. Well, anyway, we'll get there. So he said he should book them sharply. Because if he did not, what will happen? People will be led astray. And they will not be fulfilled their destiny. This is not in my notes. It just came to me. Sometime last year, I was praying, and God began to talk to me about shedding innocent blood. He took me about the Old Testament, where people sacrifice their children to Moloch, you know, and all kinds of things that they would do, and all that. They now took me to the New Testament. If you find the print of the board, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, when Paul was talking, he said, I have no man's blood in my hands. And I gave it, he said, why? Because I have not shown to declare unto you the old counsel of God. So if you do not, as a minister of God, declare the old counsel of God, or you water it down because you don't want them to go, you've got blood in your hands. Put it on the board if you can find it. Someone in Acts, when Paul was going, you know, and he called the Ephesians church to say, we can't tell them. You see, in the Old Testament, they will sacrifice their children to Moloch. Okay, people are doing committing abortion. No, no. That is true. It is not good. And this is not talking about those that God sent to go and fight a war. That's not shedding innocent blood. God said, go and destroy Amalek. That wasn't shedding innocent blood. But see, it says, but I have not, okay. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Next verse. For, let's look at that. For, I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So when you remove certain parts, I said they omit the greater matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Either because they want money or they don't want people to go like Jeroboam did. He said, ah, maybe they will begin to go to Israel, go to, and they won't come to me. And what he did, he set up a statue that said, Israel, this is your God. So everyone that died under Jeroboam, Jeroboam will give an account. So when it comes to the word of God, we must stand for truth. That's why the Bible says, persecution and affliction will arise for the world's sake. The destinies of men are at stake by what we say or even what we do. But let's leave that. When we get there, we'll talk about that. Praise the Lord. So, chapter 2 focuses on teaching of sound doctrine. It said sound doctrine. In the same vein that I said sound doctrine. And it spoke to different categories of people in the church. The aged men, the aged women, the young men, the servants. Said they should not, there shouldn't be purloining, that is no stealing, you know, servants and all that. It spoke to different categories, how they should behave themselves. You know, like Paul said in Timothy said, this is the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. That is what he was saying in chapter 2 about the preaching of sound doctrine, is that it must reflect in your life, in your conduct. At least you must become God's epistles written and read of all men. And then also in chapter 2, that's when he now talks about the purpose of our Christianity. Many read this as getting born again alone. No, he says something. He said, who has redeemed us from all, say all, iniquity, spirit, soul, and body, that he might do what? That he might present himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That is what is taken on the spirit. As I began to meditate and read the book of Titus, naturally when I read the Bible now, I seem to see perfection in every scripture. Some, if the outer court, they will see, get born again, go to heaven. Some in the Holy Spirit, they only see baptized the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when you begin to see from the dimension of the most holy place, you begin to see that everything is converging towards presenting a perfect bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such, which is being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in summary, in chapter 3, he focuses on godly living. Say godly living. And I began to talk about issues of submission to civil authority. You know, and then he began to round up in his characteristic way. You know, greeting everybody. He told Titus to come to diligently, you know, at a place called Nicopolis, you know. And I also warned Titus, the same way in 1 Timothy. He says, you avoid strife and contention. Praise the Lord. So today we are going to start and we'll read from Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Please put it on the board. So I'll read. I'll read after me.
Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is what? After godliness. That is very important. In the hope of what? Eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Next verse. But that in due times, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Verse 4. To Titus, my own son. You see, led him to Christ. Spiritual son. After the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Next verse. This is the purpose why he left him in Crete. For this cause, let I thee where in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. Say, set in order. The things that are wanting. And ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. You see here, the setting in order in every church comes before ordaining elders. There was a convention years ago, Pastor. You know, I think it was with Pastor and Brother Banks. They were talking about order, purity, and power. There has to be order in the body of Christ before you can ordain elders. If you ordain elders without order, there will be chaos, confusion, like we see. Praise the Lord. So let's read that verse 1. Let's take verse 1 and see how far God will help us. In the NIV, I'll read it. He explained it. It makes it clear. In NIV, Titus chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of God, say a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, that what leads to godliness. Every truth in the Bible must end up in us Christians becoming more godly. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, said, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. There's no point leaving Egypt and winding up dead in the wilderness. We are supposed to enter the promised land, which is the perfection and what? The fullness of Christ. The Bible says we are to go from faith to faith. Are you following me? That is, as you are growing in faith, even though you're exercising your faith in prosperity, in divine healing, all these things, the end of all those things is for you to become conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if you gain the old world? You live in prosperity. You live old like Methuselah. And you lose your soul. That doesn't mean you have gone to hell. But you have not possessed your will with humility. Your mind is not fully enlightened with revelation on it. And your emotions are not controlled by the power of the Spirit. That is what it means. If you don't attain that in this lifetime, you have lost that soul. Because you're going to remain a spiritual baby in heaven. Praise the Lord. So I was saying, now what I want us to see like is this. When I was meditating, this is where God now showed me something. Let me first of all say this. We say we keep growing in faith with the purpose in view, which is to be like God. God-likeness, godliness. That is what it means. Pastor has taught us. Godliness, that is in character, wisdom, ability, and in power. Now look at how Paul introduced himself. He calls himself a servant before he called himself an apostle. If you go through the scriptures, you see Paul. You see Peter did the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. James does the same thing, even though it was the Lord's brother. And you see Timothy, see Titus, and you see they call themselves. Look, now God now stopped me. He said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So I began to meditate, and God began to reveal to me, what does it mean? Why? What is that word servant? It is not the servant that cleans the floor that we think about. That word servant is bond servant. Say bond servant. It means slave. I follow him. It means slave. But see, when you hear that word slave, people get, they don't want to put me into bondage. No, that's what I'm saying. As I began to pray, God began to open my eyes to see what it means. I follow him. Because if you don't become a bond servant, you can never, let me put it this way, not that you can never, it will determine the amount of a spirit that measure that you can carry. Or the assignment that God can give you, like Eliezer, Abraham's bond servant. That's why I could send him to go, which is the type of the Holy Spirit, to go and get a bride for is Isaac. He was a bond servant. And he told him what to do, and he would not change it. Are you following me? So that is, let's keep reading. I'm trusting that the Lord will help me explain this thing. So he called himself a bond servant before he introduced himself as an apostle. That word bond servant in Greek is doulos. And I put it here, I say, while becoming an apostle is a ministry gift, becoming a bond servant is a choice made as an act of our will in love to our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's not everybody that God will call into the fivefold ministry. But they are, today's big grammar, they are the fivefold ministry gifts. They are anointing, so God can call you. That's why you see in the body of Christ today, a lot of people are so-called apostles, but many of them are not born servants. So that anointing, they bastardize it. We'll get there as I continue by the grace of God. So, like I said, that word, the born servant, is used metaphorically to describe someone who is devoted, totally devoted, laid down his life to his master. We are talking about Jesus Christ here, and to his purpose. That was the kind of person that Paul was. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22b and 23. He said that he that is called, being free, is Christ's what? Servant. And that is that whole servant is bond slave. He said, you are bought with a price. But ye not wherefore, be not ye the servants of men. So who is a bond servant? We need to go back to the Old Testament to understand what this means. And see that in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, I believe it is. You can put it there. I'll just briefly explain it. God was talking to Israel through Moses. He said that anytime, he said that if you have a servant, it could be a Jew or a Gentile. He said, it will serve for 6 years. He said, in 7th year, you will proclaim what? A release. I believe we are conversant with that scripture. And he said that when he's going, you will bless him. You do this and you do that and you do that. So that means we're not talking about just a servant or something like a born servant. So a servant at that point is free to go. Are you following me? They will bless him. You have served faithfully. God bless you. So you are free to go. Because your years of service are over and God will bless him. God is a righteous God. It's not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. But he now began to say about Hebrews. So, but if you have an Hebrew servant, that is a fellow Christian who is born again, and he decides out of love to stay with his master, he said, this is what you are going to do. He said, you take that Hebrew slave, you take him to the door of your house, you take what you call an oar, A-U-L. I may not get the pronunciation properly. It's like a needle that can use to puncture. So he said, you take him to the door of your house in the presence of the judges, and you put a hole in his ear to the door. Say to the door. Very important. You see, when we read the Bible, we need to begin to interpret Old Testament in New Testament light. So we don't get into bondage. Like Pastor will say, he said that Ruth's commitment to Naomi was to Naomi's God. That is the primary thing. I read in my Bible the other day, in the book of Esther, Esther chapter 1, verse 20, you can put it there. And he said that Esther, in Amplified Bible, he said he obeyed Mordecai as I had always done in all times. Can you find it? I just came to mind, just mention because we read it. You know, when you do your Bible, read, not just you meditate. Check difference. So you can get, Bible says that Ezra, so he said, gave them the sense of the word. Are you following me? So there is a balance. We're not saying that we don't serve. It's important we serve. God calls us to serve men. Praise the Lord. But you see, you don't serve men at the expense of Deuteronomy 17, verses 15 to the end. Please find it. If you can't find it, I'll find it. Anyway, I'll keep on talking. I'll find it. God just came to me. Okay? In Amplified Bible, Amplified Bible, did I say Deuteronomy? Book of Esther, chapter 2, in the Amplified Bible, verse 20. I will read. This is what it says. King James does not expatiate on it. But this is what it says. In Amplified Bible, say now, Esther had not yet revealed her nationality or her people. For she obeyed Mordecai's words, command to her. Now, this is the command. Which the primary command, the other commandments. To what? To fear God and execute his commandments, just as when she was being brought up by him. That's the primary commandment.
If you leave that and do every other thing else, it will be difficult for you if you don't quickly repent. You do that, like this is the primary thing you do. In fact, that's how you keep everything going. That's how you catch the spirit of the leader. That's how you begin to see what they are seeing. Are you following me? So you don't end up a Gehazi. Gehazi served, but he did not keep the commandment, like the Solomon said. He said, let us hear the conclusion of God. Fear God and keep his commandment. So that was what Mordecai was teaching Esther. The primary thing, not the only thing. So she served Mordecai with all her life. Are you following me? But the primary thing she held on to it, which is what determined her being presented to the king, which is the type of the body of Christ, the 6 months of purification and the 6 months of sweet odors. Praise the Lord. So they put that. So what are we talking about? Back to the book of Titus, about this issue of the bond servant or the bond slave. What does this mean? The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Are we all there? Say, but above all, say above all. Above all these things, put on what? Say love, which is the what? The bond of perfection. So how do you become a bond servant? It's by perfecting the love of God. Are you all with me? So it's not a physical thing in which you are just, you know, in those days, a slave, you don't have a right. No, no, no. As I continue, you will understand. So being a bond servant is putting on the love of God, which is the bond of perfection. Are you all with me? What about the piercing of the ear to the door? How about that? So that we don't go away, like you see some of our, we come to church tomorrow with the ears. No, that's what we're talking about. That is far from what God is talking about. Are you following me? What does it mean? The piercing of the ear by the oar to the door speaks of an obedient ear to God's instructions. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 12. You can find it, put it on the board. Proverbs 25, verse 12 says, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Let's see. What does it say? An earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is what a wise reprover upon an what? Obedient ear. So when you take the love of God and begin to perfect it daily in the place of prayer, you begin to become more and more obedient to God's instruction. How do you know? What does the door speak of? Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 7, say, very, very, I am the door of the sheep. So that Old Testament type, in which they will pierce the ear of the, what's it called, the person that wants to become a bond servant, to the door. That door is not a physical door. Just because I said, I am the door, say, I am the door. So he talks about Christians who, of their own free will, are found through perfecting the love of God, live a life of total obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Master. Praise the Lord. Are you all with me? So I said this speaks of the perfection of the love of God through daily self-denial in order to perfect obedience to God. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. We are talking about bond servants. How can we be a bond servant? So it shouldn't be something that throws us up. How can maybe God will send me to Siberia? It's what we have been doing and what I'm encouraging us to do daily. Are you all with me? He said, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. Say, who? Say who? In the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from birth, and he was heard in that he feared the fear of God. Now, listen to verse 8. Though he were his son, yet, learned he what? Obedience by the things which he suffered. We know he did not suffer sickness or disease. That word learned there could be, and that word could be used. He practiced obedience by suffering self-denial daily. That is, what he suffered was getting up in the morning. Mark 1:35. But he wake up, great time before dawn, go to sleep to peace and pray. So he had to deny himself daily for him to obey God. That is the mistake that many Christians in the body of Christ make today. When you understand it, nobody will beg you to get up on time and pray. Are you following me? So if you are disobedient, it is because somewhere down the line, probably the attitude is wrong, which ultimately hinder the flow of mercy and grace. Are you following me? And then when you get out to pray, you cannot pray. Because if you don't pray enough, your obedience will be limited to the outer court. The more you pray, the more obedient you are. And then when you pray, you can now begin to obey God in difficult places. That is why you see that Christ will obey the Father in the most holy place in Gethsemane. took him 3 hours. Praying the same prayer points. In summary, that is the prayer of a bond servant. Not my will, but your will be done. Many times Christians, we see the will of God, but yet we can't do it. Our flesh will buckle under. Because what makes you a servant is the nature that is controlling you at every point in time, if it's the same nature. Are you all following me? So you see Jesus Christ praying the same prayer point for 3 hours to obey God. To obey God. Like I said, God told me some time ago, I was praying and all that. He whispered to me and said, I hope you know that that is not my morning prayer. They're saying, hey, was that his morning prayer? No. I said, okay, it is Jesus. Was that Peter, James, and John's morning prayer? Was it? No answer now. Let's answer now. No, so your morning prayer is just the beginning. No? So don't just finish the morning prayer after good morning and then put it on just automatic. Just no, no, no. It's a life of obedience, a life of continual prayer. Like I said, Christ, I'm sure it wasn't clear to him how the crucifixion would take place. He understood he was going to die. But I believe it was sometime between the time of the Last Supper that the Holy Spirit dropped a thought in him and said, pray now, pray now, pray now. Because you know why I know? Jesus Christ is not somebody like us. He doesn't procrastinate. If he knew what is going to happen, or I was that close, but I'd done his prayers 3 hours, 5 hours, the day before. This brings us to the aspect of our daily walk in the Spirit. It's dynamic. So when Satan hatched the plan, it's coming to me. I believe it was when the Bible said he didn't know, because he was believing the better about Judas. But I said when he gave him the sop, then Satan entered the side. Then God said, go and pray now. Listen to me. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That's it. Before then, he did not have to pray because it would not happen that way. He was still going to go to the cross. But when he gave Judas the last chance to repent and Satan entered his heart, then knew that the plan had been hatched already. So immediately, those spam, go and pray, go and pray, go and pray, go and pray. If you notice, the moment he finished thank God he finished those 3 hours of prayer. Because if he did not finish it, he would not have been able to go to the cross. Because the guys that were supposed to pray with him were sleeping. And notice, when your brethren sleep, when they're supposed to stand at the gap for you, don't get angry. Because once you get into this strife, the second phase will not work. The third phase will not work. He just told them, he said, Peter, the head of the pack, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? He said, what? He didn't get angry. He said, I will deal with you. After all I've done for you, you can't pray for me. No, he didn't say that. He just said, watch it there for and pray. So don't enter temptation. The servant of God must not strive, especially in the face of obedience to do the will of God. So he went the second time. He came back the same happened. The third time, you know what he said? He said, sleep on now. He's already settled. Nothing can change it. I must say that. Go and read. He said, immediately, as he finished, Judas just appeared and kissed him and said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with the king. What if he had gotten to strive with disciples and said, you mean you cannot pray? You mean you cannot pray? He would not have finished his third phase. He would have hit him. Bah, bah, bah. And then what he didn't want to do, he would have done. You know, you don't understand what he did. You know, he said, no, you know, they can call 12 legions of angels to come. That was what he wanted to do in the flesh. But because he had constrained, the love of Christ constrains him. Because he had prayed in that God. He could do it though. But because it was the prayer, the will of God that held him back. No, don't do it. Many times we face challenges in our lives. And we give them a piece of our mind. And you think that you are right. You just failed your test. Just walk away from strife. Let's keep praying. That's not in my notes. Let's keep praying, but let's keep not pray. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. So I put it there. I said, there are many so-called apostles and very few bond servants in the body of Christ because they are not perfect. Say perfecting is a process. So we don't get under condemnation. Love of God and are still being habitually controlled by the same nature in the flesh. He mentioned this in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, where he told Titus to rebuke them. You can put it on the board, just continue. That's why Paul says some Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. He didn't say that because of an apostle,
But it's the same thing we have to do daily. We have to crucify our flesh daily. So when we come out of that prayer chamber, it's no longer D.O.A. that is living. D.O.A. wants to get angry. D.O.A. wants to overeat. D.O.A. wants to crack jokes. D.O.A. wants to do all kinds of nonsense. The old man wants to dominate him. But what God wants is for D.O.A. to stand, and Christ will begin to live through him. So now say, it is no longer I, D.O.A., that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. But it takes daily crucifixion in the flesh, in the place of prayer. Waking up, like it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 5, a great while before dawn. Are you all with me? It's important to understand this. Now, why this is very important? We are talking about Psalm 71 in verse 1. It is those that master the habits of the crucifixion of the flesh that we shall be partakers of the first fruits. You know, you have the fathers who have perfected it. I and the children that God has given me are for what? Signs and wonders. Remember where I started from. I said he called himself a born servant before he called himself an apostle. A born servant speaks of character, and an apostle, as you all know, is a spiritual gift, ministry gift. It is this born servant that is the wine skin that will hold the wine of apostolic wisdom and revelation so it will not burst. Are you following me? It's very important. You may not be an apostle. Whatever God has called you to do is you're becoming a bond servant to Christ. Bible says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Be yoked with the Lord in the place of prayer daily. That will determine how far you can go in fulfilling the purpose of God. So like I said, when you have the fathers that receive the outpouring of spirit without measure, which is going to be a gift, a reward, not a gift, then the degree to which those of us that are under them are practicing this daily habit, that will determine the measure of a spirit without measure, I follow me, that he can exercise. It can't be given to someone that is not put his flesh under. I follow me? No. Not because God does not love him. No, God loves all his children. But he's not going to put on everybody. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Praise the Lord. So the responsibility is in our court. How be it back by the mercy and the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Like I said, he said, the type of the first fruit company that will manifest his glory in this end time. Revelation chapter 14, read verses 1 and 4. Although we know this speaks of Israel, the ones that were sealed during the tribulation, but it's also a type of what God is about to do in this hour. So let's read. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 says, And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him what? 144,000, having what? His father's name. Say, father's name. Aspect of character written where in their foreheads, the perfection of the love of God. These are they which are not defiled with women. He's not talking about committing fornication, he's talking about not being defiled with the spirit of Babylon. That Pastor was sharing beautifully on Wednesday. The clamorous woman is the spirit of Babylon, must say, sits upon many waters. She are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Are you following me? The wise virgins, let me qualify. These are they, which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Say, these were redeemed from among men, being what? The first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So, what qualifies you as being part of the first of first fruit company is when you become a bond servant to Christ. That is, spiritually speaking, you daily perfect the love of God so I can obey him. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So when we talk about you being a bond servant, like as a Christian, you are free. You are free to wake up today and say, oh, God, I believe that. Let me give you an example. People choose, make different. It's going to determine your choices that you make. For example, you look at the situation. You are offered a job. Please, I'm just talking. I'm not referring to anybody. So I don't want people to feel that I'm trying to avoid mentioning the word jackpot, because people begin to feel, what are you talking about? So I'm just going to use a natural example. You stand in a situation, two things are offered unto you, like the two trees in the garden. I follow him, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It could be two different jobs. And then you weigh the options under God. Say, under God. So I'm not being legalistic. And like, this one, if I take this one, it's going to take me out of the logo. I'm not be able to do this. I'm not be able to do that. You know, these people, I'm not talking about, I didn't mention work in a bank. You can work in a bank and fulfill your purpose. And you can work in a church environment and see me your purpose. Are you following me? But you must be bearing witness because he knows your weakness. Say, you, don't take this job. If you take this job, you that you are struggling to pray, now you'll be walking to Susan. You'll be bearing witness with your spirit. So when those two choices come, you now choose the right one. Why? Because you want to remain bonded to the Lord. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So that you can obey God more. I found man to say, it's very important we understand. You know, I didn't give any personal example. I found, so that's how the choices you make daily. That is what is taking me away from eating of the tree of life. You could be watching TV till late in the night, which is going to affect your getting up in the morning. Different examples. I have my own struggles. And God is helping me. I found, I'll go back to God. See, one mountain, God is very merciful. God is very merciful. And sometimes I will blow it totally. I will say, God, can I open my mouth to pray again? And then all of a sudden, I discovered that, not that we continue to sin or grace my abound, but you saw, God looks at the heart. And as he just picks me up for where I am, and I begin to talk, like I see nothing happen. I'm saying, Lord, but don't you know what I just did? I've been cracking jaws, misbehaving like a priest, blah, 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 blah. A just man falls 7 times. But you see, let me put something there. Not deliberately. We're talking about the weaknesses of the flesh. Anyway, let's continue. So, we see the best example of the bond servant in our Lord Jesus Christ. He became a bond servant to God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's what he did. He says, I hear, I judge. He says, I don't do anything except what my Father tells me. That's a bond servant. And the Bible calls him so. He's the best example we have. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, but he made himself, we always quote it, of no reputation and took upon him what? The form of a servant. That's a bond servant. Doulos. I was made in likeness of men. Are you all with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to us? And how did he do it? I read it. Hebrews chapter 5. You see, when you read these things, it's good to determine to be a bond servant. But the technology, pastor, and mommy have given us, they have given us the sense of the word. So being a bond servant is not what you'd be afraid of. It's you perfecting the love of God. The bond of perfectness, now to obey God daily till you perfect obedience. Master has taught us. That's what Jesus Christ did. He said he humbled himself. So anytime God revealed his will, he will do it. He will his will, he will do it. How be it if you had to pray 3 hours to go to the cross? Praise the Lord. So this also speaks of the sons of Issachar. But say they have a knowledge of the times and seasons and what Israel ought to do. Now let us look at the sons of Issachar as Jacob was praying for his children. Genesis chapter 49, we read from verses 14 to 15. He was blessing them. He blessed Zebulun. He blessed them, all the children. He now came to Issachar. What did he say? In verse 14, Genesis chapter 49, verse 14. Let's go there. Say, Issachar, it's a strong ass. That speaks of the prophetic. The ox is the apostle. Say, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good. And that the land, it was pleasant. And he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. Issachar. It's a strong ass. A strong ass! Let me try and explain it. The present land there is the land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Bible says in the book of Psalms, it said they despise the promised land. It's not a physical land. And he said that, why did he bow himself unto tribute? Couching between two burdens. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 and in 5 or so, he said, let us bear one another's burden. That while we may be what? Fulfill the law of Christ. Then later he said, let every man bear his body. So when you want to know the son of Issachar, there are those that are couching under two burdens. They not only carry their own burden, but they carry the burden of the people. So you can easily identify the sons of Issachar. They were men. So you can understand there is no flattery. We are under the sons of Issachar. It's not flattery. They are couching under two burdens. They are carrying their own burden. And they are carrying those under them. They are daily. And they saw that rest was good. God is bringing them to a heaven of rest. You know, about some years ago, I've been of each decade, the prayer that I prayed for mommy, not me, that they pray for mommy, it will be a decade of rest. So you can understand why there's so much. Why would God say rest if there's not going to be agitation? Why would God say peace when there is not going to be conflict? That is, he's speaking against what the enemy is trying to do. Understand. When God says, I'm going to bless you, you understand that poverty is knocking on the door. So he's telling you ahead of time that don't let the winds and the storms distract you. And it shall surely come to pass. I said, I saw that rest for good. Rest is not physical rest. Rest is when the sin nature is totally removed from the spirit, from the soul and the body. That's how you enter the rest. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He said, the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the heart. It was brooding, traveling, until the satanic distortion was removed. Then God began to speak. That is rest. Paul said, therefore remains the rest for the people of God. Let us therefore labor to enter into that. That's what you do every morning when you get up to pray. You must enter into rest for that day. Because the Bible says that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That is evil in every day. Yea, the evil has increased in this hour we are talking about. But the Bible says that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So he's telling you, Paul, get more humble. My grace is sufficient for you to overcome the sufficient evil of every day. Fear not, little flock, the Bible says, for your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's begin to round up. Lord, have mercy on me. So that the sons of Israel, so he saw that rest was good. But when he saw purpose, and that, this thing is not only for me, it's for other people. I and the children that God has given for someone. Paul said that necessity is laid upon me. He said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. There's some things that when God shows you, he's not going to force you. He'll just say, this is what I want to do. You are lying. He's not going to say, I've called you to be a king. No, no. When you understand purpose, say, God, if this is what you want to do, I align with it. That is, you don't say, like the servant that left, after 6 years, I'm free to do what I want to do. I use my faith for material prosperity. No, you say, no, I'm going to stay with my master, with the Lord Jesus Christ. I become a bond servant unto him. You become a priest, and the four priests that carry the ark, become a servant unto tribute. Praise the Lord. The hallmark of a bond servant is what? Humility. Say humility. Humility. Let me show you what humility means and describe it. Let's run 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 amplified. Pastor, if I submit to the will of God when you don't feel like it, especially when it makes you think that you're smaller than what you think of, no, you are. In summary, humility is submitting to the will of God. So if God comes to Lalu and says, Lalu, take 5 million. God, I don't want. You are proud, sir. I just said that jokingly. But in order to get your attention, humility is submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. So if God, so it doesn't have to be some that is, but when you talk about humility, what's it about, No. It's submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. Are you following me? That is the summary. When you don't feel like it. Praise the Lord. So, let me read. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of a church. So, you see, began with those that are under. Giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Now, this one together. Say, clothe. Apron on yourselves. All of you. Both elder and the lesser. With what? Humility. As what? The garb of a servant. So that his covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, born servant for life, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. I want you to do the other side. Say, God says himself. That is, in those days, born servants were known by the cloak they put on. So when you see a true man of God, you first of all see him as a born servant, for you see his apostleship. You first of all discern his character by the fruit you shall know them before the gifts. But many will come in that day and say unto me, Lord, Lord, I have not prophesied in your name. I have not done so many mighty works. And I say, I never knew you. It is in knowing with him that determines your character. Become the born servant. Are you following me? So it's not only for those in ministry, for everybody that wants to go far with God. I need to. Okay, I'll stop here. I will pick it up next time. So, in summary, what am I saying? I've already said it. In summary, and it's a life of total freedom from the nature of sin and the acts of sin called perfection. That's what I'm talking about in summary. I've not said anything new. Are you following me? And Romans chapter 6, verse, let's just take about two more scriptures and we'll stop. Say, Romans 6, 6, it says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, the servants ye are to whom you obey. Now, listen. Whether of sin, as if nature is controlling you, unto death, are you following me? Or of obedience unto righteousness. That obedience comes from the life of God. Being then made free from sin, perfection, you have become the servants of righteousness, which is love. Love is right doing. Are you following me? Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin, perfection, no more sin in your soul and your body. He was talking here of what we have, God has done for us potentially, but vitally, that's what I'm talking about. And become servants, same thing, doulos to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all fitness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How then do we become Christ's bond servant? You can put it on the board and I will stop. By following daily the sequential steps to make more room for Jesus. It's so simple. It's so simple, you can't miss it. It's so simple, you can't miss it. You follow these steps sequentially. Because what this thing does for you, you can read it. I don't want to go over it again. You can read it and study it. This is what you do to become a bond servant. This is what you practice. So as you practice this, that it brings that place of obedience. That was what Jesus Christ did. He said, he learned obedience. Practice obedience. By the things which he suffered. Self-denial. Daily self-denial. Say, if any man will follow me, let him take up his cross, what? Daily. And follow me. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hold on, please. Hold on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to God. God is calling us to become bond servants that might carry the imminent glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. About this song again. Pastor Andrew, please remind me of that song again. Yes, when I survey, let's just sing the first stanza and last stanza, which is verse 5. Just put it on the board. When I survey the wondrous cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. This is what we are called to do. We do not use our liberty in Christ as an occasion for the flesh. Let's sing.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss. Content on all my pride.
The last stanza because of time.
Amazing, so dear.
Yeah, sing that last verse again.
Let the whole realm of nature mine that were a present far too small.
Lord, you know why Paul said, all these things I count them as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So that I might apprehend the purpose for which I was apprehended. Now understand. Say that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Let's pray. Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as you pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and has come to me today, reminding me of becoming your bond servant by perfecting the love of God through daily self-denial in the place of prayer and walking in the Spirit. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace in sufficient measure to diligently practice these things that may be a partaker of the first fruits of your glory that is imminent in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Father, we thank you. Receive your life. Lord, receive your blood. Lord, your life, your power, insufficient, but in upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our bodies, and our circumstances, even our original heavens. In Jesus' name. Now, for us to fulfill this, we need a healthy body to fulfill this. And God wants to heal everybody. I'll read the scripture before we pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely, say freely, give us all things. Healing is free, folks. So let's, if you have a need of healing, you need to live long to fulfill your prophetic destiny. These are exciting days. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come today. I come more than covering of myself, spiritual Father. So pray for my brethren, those that are watching online, that are lifting up their hands, Lord, to receive healing. The Bible says that, Lord God, you gave us Jesus Christ. How much more? The Bible says you delivered him. You did not spare your son. How much more will you not freely give us those all things? God, receive healing by faith. For everyone's hand that is stretched forth here under the covering of our fathers. The Bible says you sent your word and you healed them. And divide them for that circle. We send that healing word now to deliver every hand that's prepared from every affliction of system, every sickness or disease. Say, be thou made whole from the top of your head down to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.